great politics, but I think the American people are sick and tired about hearing about your damn meeting.
You're listening to Sports Overnight Weekend.
Top of Man Radio is on the air for hour number two. Live from the Sports Byline Studios, the multi-million dollar Sports Byline Studios, what I call my grill. I am the Taco Man, Johnny Taco. I've got open phone lines if you like to talk sports. We can for the next hour, live, of course, from the City by the Bay, San Francisco, California, the only sports show live in the continental USA that is nationally syndicated and heard around the world. Open phone lines all over the place. 1-800-878-7529. That's 1-800-878-7529. The NFL draft, hot and heavy, man. Tennessee Titans picking number one. Cleveland Browns, who just gave up Johnny Manziel. Johnny Football, number two. San Diego Chargers, number three. Cowboys, number four. The Jaguars, number five. Number six, go to the Ravens. The Niners coming in, number seven. Interesting. The Miami Dolphins are going to pick number eight, but they traded that to Philadelphia. Number nine is going to be the Bucks. And number 10 pick will go to the New York Giants. What's going to happen? Who's going to be the number one pick? Who do you think? Want to join us? You can. 1-800-878-7529. That's 1-800-878-7529. And when I say us, I mean Johnny Taco and his All-Stars. Because I am Johnny Taco. My All-Stars are Zach Attack Young and Dominic Jimenez. Dominic's done with his 11 o'clock massage. I take it back. He gets a manicure at 11. And he's done with the manicure. He'll be with us in just a few minutes. Straight up, we're talking NFL draft, NBA, you name it. We'll talk it. 1-800-878-7529. This is Johnny Taco. I am the Taco Man. Taco Man Radio live, 10 p.m. Pacific time, each and every Saturday night, live on the West Coast. Johnny Taco and his All-Stars on Sports Byline.
Rebuild or replace transmission, $3,200. Anti-lock brake system, $1,000. Rebuild or replace engine, $2,400. Truth is, once your manufacturer's warranty runs out, it's all on you. Every last cent. Get protection for covered repairs with a vehicle service contract from Toco Warranty. Unlike other companies, with Toco, there's no down payment, and the monthly payments are really affordable. Not sure how long you're keeping your car? At Toco, you can pay as you go. Keep your hard-earned cash and call Toco Warranty right now at 800-222-2313 to save big money on covered auto repairs. Prices vary by vehicle, but for about the cost of a tank of gas per month, a Toco plan has your back on expensive covered car repairs. Monthly payments are very affordable. Get your free quote now. Call Toco at 800-222-2313. That's 800-222-2313. 800-222-2313. Cancellation fee may apply. Subject to eligibility. Not available in Missouri and Washington. Waiting period and deductible apply. Coverage provided and administered by Warrantech Corporation or its affiliates. Not affiliated with any manufacturer or dealership. Visit TocoWarranty.com for complete terms and conditions.
Tired of calls, levies, and liens from the IRS or hiring others who don't get the job done? Call Wall & Associates and you'll never talk to the IRS again. The IRS has a program to eliminate tax debt, and Wall & Associates professionals are trained to maximize its benefits for you. You always speak with a live person with real support and real knowledge. We've helped thousands of taxpayers like you settle their tax debt with the IRS for a fraction of what they owe. We solve tax problems. Call Wall & Associates now, 800-480-5708. We have the professionals who know how to solve tax problems. If you owe money to the IRS, your tax problems are not going away by themselves, and the passage of time will only make matters worse. Act now, before it's too late. Call Wall & Associates right now to speak to a professional tax relief agent. Call 800-480-5708. That's 800-480-5708. Again, 800-480-5708.
Hey there, travelers. You going somewhere? Need a hotel? Then call Hotel Wiz anytime, day or night, for rates too low to publish. You can save up to 75% on over 500,000 hotels across the globe and get our best price guarantee with no booking or cancellation fees ever. We've got some of the lowest hotel prices you'll find in New York, Chicago, Las Vegas, San Francisco, Washington, D.C., and a lot more. Don't waste your time surfing for deals. Make a free call right now and find deals too low to publish. Save up to 75% right now with no cancellation fees. And to make it even easier on you, we're here 24/7 to help. So call right now. Bookmark us in your cell phone. Whatever you need to do, just pick up the phone and call this number for hotel deals that'll knock your socks off.
800-507-3777. 800-507-3777. 800-507-3777. 800-507-3777.
I want to have these guys go into the film tomorrow and turn on the tape and say this guy's doing things right and this guy's really fighting hard to pick this up and to make plays. So you know, that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to make an impression and leave a little bit of a lasting memory coming off these games.
Power and valor, not niftiness. The water bug and whippet backs rarely survive the wail and howl of the banshee. Every team needs a Brahma bull to steamroll through the stacked defenses in the pros. They must meld the buck of a billy goat with a sudden surge
Johnny
of a sprint.
Johnny Manziel, football toast. Maybe the Dallas Cowboys will sign him. Tim Tebow coming back to the NFL. Will be signed by the Eagles on Monday. Of course, Mr. God coming back. We'll look at the NFL draft. Let me go through the top 10 guys in the draft as far as I'm concerned, okay? Laramie Tunsil, I'm talking about, he's with Ole Miss. Jalen Ramsey's with Florida State. Joey Bosa, of course, with Ohio State, that monster defensive end. Jared Goff, of course, he's with Cal as a quarterback. Good-looking stud there. What a stud. Miles Jack is with, he comes in at number 5. Carson Wentz, another quarterback at number 6. DeForest Buckner, a defensive end at number 7. Number 8 looks like Ronnie Stanley. Number 9, we go back to Ohio State. Ezekiel Elliott, of course, a running back. And number 10 is Laquan Treadwell. Those are my top 10s. I'm stealing it from CBS.com. But what about this guy, Eli Apple? Dominic, is he getting dogged because he's gay or what?
Yeah, you know, I don't know too much about him as a football player, but I do know that the Falcons, one of their interview guys, straight up asked him, "Do you like men?" And I believe I read that that's one of the first questions that they asked, and that already violated some kind of workplace.
Yeah, you can't ask somebody that.
Thing. Come on, man. You can't. Falcons, even if he did, honestly, that's not something you need to ask now. That has zero bearing on whether he fits your scheme. If anything, and this is like super stretching it, if you absolutely need to know, ask the guy
why do you need to? Wait, time out. You're his employer. Why the hell do you need to know? He's not banging you. You're not banging him. What's that have to do with it? What does his sex life have to do with you being his coach?
It doesn't. That's what I just said. I said if you absolutely need to know, worry about that later once he's on the team. Right now you're questioning what you're interviewing him. Is whether you want to draft him, whether he fits your scheme, whether he fits a need on the team. That's all that should be mattering right now. Or whether he's got friends that are trouble. Obviously, that's something you want to address in the interviews as well.
Zach, if this guy walked into the meeting wearing the gay colors, the gay flag, the rainbow flag, he still shouldn't have been dogged. I mean, come on, you just can't do that in employment, man. Nowhere.
No, yeah, you can't legally ask somebody that question, I don't think. I'm pretty sure that's against the law.
Yeah, it is against the law, and I think the Falcons are going to get some heat on that, not only from the NFL, but maybe in a little bit of civil lawsuit. Now, let's go to Dominic first. Dom, if you had to go through your draft, who would you be grabbing number one?
Oh, as we were wrapping up, if I'm the Titans, I'm drafting Laramie Tunsil. We need the Titans need somebody to protect Marcus Mariota.
You're right.
They have a lot invested in him. They just got DeMarco Murray to be their running back. We saw how much he struggled with the makeshift line in Philadelphia that they struggled with. You want to solidify that. I know it's the unsexy pick. Everybody cares about the guy that puts up the stats, but a lot of times the foundation of drafting is that offensive line. The Niners did it successfully with Staley, Davis, Upati, Boone a while back. We saw what the Cowboys have done. They've got one of the best offensive lines, and they pass on Johnny Football to draft Zach Martin. He was an all-pro as a rookie. The offensive line's the unsexy pick. But it's the one that makes, I think, one of the biggest differences in the NFL.
Quote, March 8th, 2014, teams are making a big mistake not taking Johnny Manziel. He's going to be really good and exciting to watch. Who said that, Zach?
Nobody.
Donald Trump. Donald Trump said that. The real Donald Trump. He tweeted that. May 8th, 2014. Yeah, seriously, that's my Donald Trump having the wrong thing there, no doubt about that. Now, let's go back to the draft. as far as quarterbacks are concerned, you've got the Cal quarterback, of course, Jared Goff, and the guy from North Dakota State, Carson Wentz. Which quarterback would you take if you had your pick, Zach?
Probably Goff, but honestly, I'm not really that impressed with like the quarterback draft this year. I just don't think that there's like a franchise quarterback out there in this year's draft.
And what's your take on that, Dominic?
I think Zach's right. I think Goff and Wentz can be difference makers at the next level. I don't think they're going to be, you know, a franchise cornerstone like a Derek Carr might be, like an Andrew Luck was, but I think they're going to be impactful and good at the next level. Goff's incredibly accurate. The way that, you know, these passing schemes are all about quick hits. We're kind of retransitioning to the West Coast offense being popular again. If he gets into the right system with his ability to be accurate, I think he could be extremely successful. And Carson Wentz has all the tools. It's just a matter of whether he can put them all together. It's kind of like Brock Osweiler. He's got the physical tools. Can he put it together, especially now that he's got the big contract in Houston? We got to come back to it. Nothing's a sure thing like it was with Andrew Luck a couple years ago.
Here's the sure thing in this draft. Joey Bosa, defensive end, Ohio State. He's a junior, 6'5", 270 pounds. He's going to probably go number one, number two, or number three. If the 49ers can get a hold of him, and I think they're picking number 7 or 8, I think that'd be a smart move for the team. Because you know what? A great pass rusher like Charles Haley and this and that, the 49ers need that, Dominic.
Yeah, they're really lacking the pass rush. Last past season was a huge difference without Aldon Smith. Ahmad Brooks, I don't know if you can quite count on him to be productive. And Aaron Lynch is still young and a little bit raw.
The
Niners haven't had a good pass rush in a while.
No clue. No question about that. Dominic Jimenez, Zach Young. This is Sports Johnny talking as all starts. Sports Overnight in America. Next up, the referee of referees. The man deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. He's that good. I'm talking about Pat Russell next. Talking a little boxing and more and some politics on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network.
Attention, if you're in the market for a power scooter to reclaim your freedom, we have great news. Hartway, one of the world's leading manufacturers, has new factory direct power scooters for as little as $39 a month. Now you can stay active and have the freedom that a power scooter can give you. For over 20 years, we've been building the best and most reliable power scooters in the marketplace. And now with our new direct-to-consumer division, we can offer you wholesale prices. Plus, with Hartway Care Service, you are always protected. You will not find a better power scooter for as little as $39 a month anywhere. And with free shipping, if you call today, you can have a new power scooter delivered to your door for free in days. Financing is easy with your credit card or PayPal credit. Call now. 1-800-427-0183. 1-800-427-0183. That's 1-800-427-0183. 1-800-427-0183.
If you or someone you love suffers from drug addiction, now is the time to utilize your private health insurance PPO plan. If eligible, receive up to $30,000 or more in substance abuse benefits with low or no out-of-pocket cost. We are the National Treatment Network, the premier drug and alcohol treatment referral service operating 24/7. We help connect you with facilities nationwide that accepts PPO private health insurance for substance abuse. If you have PPO substance abuse coverage and you need immediate admittance to a medical detox or residential rehab treatment center, call us now. Call our live referral helpline today. The call is free. This program is not available to Medicare or Medicaid customers.
Call 800-296-0906. 800-296-0906. 800-296-0906. That's 800-296-0906.
Hi, I'm Dr. Robert Clapper, Chief of Orthopedic Surgery at Cedars-Sinai Medical Group in Los Angeles, California. Dedicated to your health, your life, and your sports. As a weekend warrior, you know about sports injuries and pain. Exercise is an important element in keeping your body's core in good shape to minimize sports injuries. But when you are in pain, there is one product that I recommend to my patients, and that is Blue Goo Gel. Blue Goo consists of a proprietary formula developed specifically for the treatment of inflammation and general muscle aches and strains. I recommend Blue Goo for my patients coping with hip and knee pain before surgery, especially bursitis and tendonitis. Give Blue Lugo a try. Call 1-888-330-0123 and you'll receive a one-week supply of Blue Goo absolutely free. The makers of Blue Goo are even paying the shipping. The number again is 1-888-330-0123. If you want more information on Blue Goo, visit online at www.dothegoo.com.
Now available at select Big Five stores near you.
This is Sports Overnight America
with Johnny Taco.
February 1996, Boxing After Dark hit the air, folks. The L.A. Forum, I was sitting in the first row, and this referee sprung to start him. His name was Pat Russell out of San Diego, California, of course, a veteran. Have you retired now officially, Pat?
I have retired from the ring. I am still a boxing judge.
Fantastic. What was that night like? I mean, the Boxing After Dark, I was doing a radio show across the street, remember, coming over and sitting down there, and Jack Fisk and I were there, the old Jack Fisk. Everybody was there. Barrera was like 39-0, and McKinney had only lost one fight prior. I mean, this was a mega, mega bout.
Well, they had great corners. And the other thing was that there was a lot of personal animosity, probably because of miscommunication. Imagine that. During the weigh-in, to his credit, I guess, or McKinney went all hoodie on Barrera, trying to drum up interest in the fight, and he started calling everything, and he says, "I'll make you so ugly that even your mother wouldn't recognize you." Well, Marco didn't understand what he said, so he turned to his corner and said, "Kay," and his manager said, "Tu madre." Well, and God bless him, Marco turned right around and cracked him right there at the weigh-in. So when they got into the ring, I don't know how things are, Pedro, like most of life, we start off slow and then we work our way to a higher level. That fight started off in round one. On the very first punch, they were out to hurt each other. I mean, that's how that fight started, and then it went on from there. And it was an experience. It truly was. I'm glad you enjoyed it. I'll tell you, at the end, all I remember was it was – I think it stopped in the 12th round. I called the fight in the 12th round when that kid had enough. And it was as good a fight up to that point as I'd ever been in. And admirable stuff, wonderful stuff.
Pat Russell, San Diego-based referee, former law enforcement official, is our guest. And you're talking about sucker punches at the L.A. Forum. The best sucker punch I ever saw was when Riddick Bowe cracked Larry Donald. You remember that one?
I do, yes.
Holy, was that the punch of all? Good Lord, you almost, that would have... That was assault with a deadly weapon or whatever you want to call it. That was crazy.
Sure, sure. I mean, the Forum just, I don't know about you, Pedro, but you can just sit there and think of the Forum, and there must have been 100 great fights that went on there. Chicanito Hernandez fought out at that place.
It was bi-weekly boxing mayhem, no doubt about
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. I mean, absolutely. And at the end, we had Chick Hearn as an announcer, too.
I have to say,
one of the more professional announcers I've ever seen. What he didn't know about the sport, he went out and dug it up, and he was really a lot of fun to work with. It was just fun.
I worked a couple cards with him. He wasn't a bad guy. He really wasn't a bad guy. I got a question for you. When you look back at the Barrera-McKinney fight, and McKinney was wearing down there at the end, how do you make the decision to stop the fight? I mean, what are the factors that bring in the stopping of a fight?
Well, Pedro, you were a policeman, and I would tell you this. At what point does anything become an area where you absolutely positively have to respond? That, and I think whatever that trigger is, whatever that tripwire is, or whatever that fence is, or whatever your image is, once that image is reached, then without question, you've got to step in and save a life. I mean, what is lucky, I guess, in some senses, is that the referee gets to watch the deterioration process go on for periods of time. You get to watch them recover from certain things. You get to watch them, where you think that they can go, but it's somewhere down the line, you've got to have a tripwire where you say, this is enough, and I'm going to stop it. And I tell people there's two things you have to do. Number one, you have to make a decision, and number two is you have to live with it. And if you stop at one punch too slow, the Goldilocks theory, well, you stopped at one punch too late, and this kid got injured. If you stop at one punch too early, then everybody goes, geez, he could have gone on a little further. And then somewhere in the middle, I guess, is the perfect stop. But here's what we don't know. What we don't know is the history that brought that kid to that point and that this is cumulative injury. And in my humble estimation, I think when you develop the judgment that when you decided that kid's had enough that day, then stop it. And I guess my final comment about that would be the great Arthur McCanty Sr.
Yeah.
Stopped a fight one time, and the kid looked at him, and, you know, these fighters are professional athletes. They stop. I mean, they get hurt. They're absolutely helpless. You stop and hold them for a couple of seconds. They recover like that. And the next thing you know, they're looking at you going, geez, I want to fight some more, because that's their nature. They're warriors. And this kid looked at Arthur McCanty and said, come on, ref, let me go back. I got some more. And Arthur McCanty said the perfect statement when he said, I know you do, son, but not tonight. And stop the fight. It was wonderful. And I think that's probably the best summary of what you do and how you do it at the time, and the integrity of the game was that particular statement.
The great Arthur McCanty, of course, the referee of the Ali Frazier fight, of course, which celebrated, I think, 45 years this past March the 8th. But I got to talk about McCanty for a second. He was a physical freak. He had a pull-up bar between his kitchen and his and leaving the kitchen, I think. So every time one of his kids came into the room, they had to pull 10 pull-ups, okay? So he was a physical fitness freak. So he and I are in he and I are in Atlantic City in the Sands Hotel, some health club or something like that. And I'm on like 135, 140 pounds, maybe 155, nothing, very, very light. And he's in his 70s, and we're doing pull-ups, and he's equaling me.
Wow.
I did 20, he did 20. I said, oh.
Wow.
There's no way this guy, no. And he did 20 of them, man. He was an amazing, amazing guy, of course. Passed away a couple years ago, but that Ali Frazier fight, that first Ali Frazier fight, was amazing. Now, he scored that first Ali Frazier fight. Should you be scoring fights as a referee?
You know, no. And candidly, that's a whole separate discipline to evaluate what you've just seen in one three-minute deal as opposed to a referee. Now, your concerns are a whole lot different. What's going on? How do you keep that fight somehow within the level of justice so that it comes to its natural conclusion, whether or not this kid can continue? I mean, there's a lot of other things going on, not the least of which is trying to figure out who won that round. I mean, and honestly, Pedro, there's been rounds at the end of it where it was so intense, I had no idea what the score was. I was so focused on other stuff. If you asked me to judge, I wouldn't have been able to give you a legitimate score. I really wouldn't.
I'm pretty sure it was Harry Gibbs, the English judge, who was the judge and referee. I think it was him. I think he gave Edwin Rosario a fight over Cornelius Boza Edwards or some fight like that. It was in England, and Rosario didn't win the fight. But what was sort of funny was that when the fight was over, the referee just walked over and raised the guy's hand. That was it.
Yeah.
I mean, there was no points, no scores. Nothing. He won.
Yep, that's England. And I think England has a different discipline. They also have a different way of bringing their officials up to their what they call their star level. And, you know, they're very harsh on their judgments and, you know, legitimately. That, you know, you get to a certain point, they think, okay, let's try it at the next level. But for anything less than championship fights, it's the referee who determines that. And, you know, so once you do that, you would extrapolate or put that into your game, and you would sit there and add that as one of the things you had to do. But thankfully, in this state, and certainly, and I think in the United States, you don't have to do that, and I appreciate that. I think that's a separate discipline to sit there and say, insert yourself between the punch that knocks a kid out and the punch that does damage to a kid. That's a difficult thing to do. I wouldn't want to add anything else to that.
You know, I was partners with the great Alexis Arguello and spent some time with him in Nicaragua. But I remember when he fought Andy Gannon, and I think in May of like 1979, somewhere around there at the old Aladdin Hotel in Vegas, Gannon knocked him down with a big left to a big left in the first round. He was in the southpaw in the first and second round. But in the third round, he hit Arguello so hard, I watched Arguello's eyes spin around in his head. And then he told me later in life, he goes, it wasn't the punch that knocked me down. It was that punch one round later.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? So it isn't the punches always that knock you down. You talked about United States boxing there for a second. We're talking with Pat Russell, folks, esteemed retired referee, still a California judge going around the world, I'm sure, judging fights with the WBO. I saw him at the WBO convention in October down in Orlando, Florida, which he left a day early on me. So, that, you know, that kind of stuff. We didn't get to drink at the bar. But the bottom line is, you know, the British, Frank Warren, probably single-handedly, he's rebuilt boxing in that country. Now, Al Haymon sort of tried to do the same thing here, but I'm not seeing the same results. Are you?
Actually, I think it's a little premature. I think we ought to give it a little bit. of time. We now have, at least for mainstream media, if there is such a thing, mainstream sports media, we now have an American champion, legitimate American champion at the heavyweight level. That's a big deal. That's a big deal in the sense that, you know, professional football is a bigger deal than high school football. You and I are aficionados of the sport. The best fight I ever saw was, McKinney and Barrera certainly would be in there. Vasquez, Marquez, Bradley Provodnikov, all those are much lesser weights. And there's a different thing going on. But for the fan that's the casual fan, if there is such a thing, I think the heavyweight division is a big division. The other thing is, and I give Mr. Heyman all the credit in the world, is he is bringing fights back where we can watch fights, competitive fights, for free, if there is such a thing, on our major networks. And that's a big deal for exposing the talent of these young men and women as they go forth in this. I think the model maybe would be UFC, which was brilliantly executed by Dana White. But I think it's premature. Boxing continues to thrive. I can't tell you how many times that you do a fight and there's people walk up to you that you wouldn't think are boxing fans at all and have a very articulate critique of your performance sometimes, and then certainly they would talk about the fight and get the added aspects of what goes on. So I'm thinking it'll never go away. It just won't. And I think, candidly, I think there's going to be a resurgence of it.
Well, boxing fans are definitely not pro wrestling fans. And, you know, I used to go out to the Cow Palace here in San Francisco and watch wrestling for like a decade. And the little old ladies would have their own seats. They'd have their own seat for each match. It was like a season ticket, okay? And they'd sit there and kill the bum, cut him, make him bleed. I mean, these ladies were in their 70s. I mean, oh, my God. They took that stuff really, really seriously. Did you ever referee any wrestling?
No. Thank you.
Okay. All right. At one point in time, there were athletic commission referees doing that back in the day.
Yeah, and the other thing, well, the reason they did that was the Athletic Commission ran the show. I mean, what they were doing was collecting their taxes and making sure it was all good. And I think the WWF,
Vince McMahon wanted to go theatrics.
They took all that off the table because they really basically wanted to have their own doctors and, you know, their own choreography and all that stuff. And it's sports entertainment. You know, it's not sports. It's sports entertainment. I'm not taking anything away from the athleticism of these fantastic. I think they're fantastic athletes to do what they're doing and make it over that period of time. Wow.
Well, you remember Freddie Blassie, of course.
Oh yeah,
Freddie. I mean, you know what he did to a kid, and he's in Hawaii. It's 1964 and 1965. He's in Hawaii with the boxing promoter, legendary promoter Don Chargan. So some kid comes up to him on the beach and says, "Mr. Blassie, can I have an interview?" And Fred Blassie got up and kicked sand all over the kid.
Wow, kid, really?
Well, that was his image, you know, the bad guy image, right? So he got up there, he actually did it. So the kid's father came over, was going berserk, you know. Chargan had to break that one up.
Do you remember Pepper Gomez?
Sure. I mean, he died in Hayward, California, Fremont, California.
Well, I saw him years, it must be 20 years ago, at Skoma's restaurant in San Francisco. He was one of the maitre d's.
So was Pat Valentino.
Really?
Yeah, well let me tell you about Pat being the maitre d' at Skoma's. I had won, I think, my second or third Golden Glove championship. We had a limo, and then we were rolling around town and having drinks and this and that. And they said, "Let's go somewhere nice to eat." I said, "Let's go to Skoma's." You go, "Pete, man, Skoma, you got to have a reservation with Skoma." I said, "Pat Valentino will take care of us. Don't worry about it." So we roll up there, and I roll in there, and Pat comes out. He goes, "Yeah, Pedro, Bob." So we're talking for about a couple of minutes. He goes, so when you fight again, Pedro? I said, "Probably in about 7 or 8 weeks, 2 months. I think you're talking a couple of months from now." He goes, "Yeah, well, by then you might sober up." Okay, and I went, am I that drunk? He goes, "I've never seen you this drunk. Go sit down." So anyway, we went and sat me down, but he took care of us, of course. Pepper Gomez, a man with a cast iron stomach. The legendary Ray Stevens and he were supposed to hook it up in 1962 in an outdoor bout here at the Candlestick Park, which was just Ray's a few weeks ago. They were supposed to hook it up in this 50,000-seat outdoor baseball stadium, and Ray Stevens broke his leg, and Pepper Gomez hated him until the day he lied. But Pepper was a good guy. I saw him, I guess about 7 or 8 years ago over in the East Bay at a shopping center. I got to say hello to him. Things like that. Wonderful man. Pat.
He was. It was great. He had that story. Ray Pencil Neck.
Stevens.
My goodness. That goes back to the old KTVU days on Channel 2 on Friday nights. That was our big entertainment back in the day.
We're going to take a break. We'll come back with referee extraordinaire Pat Russell right after the break. You're tuned to the Johnny Taco Show. I am the Taco Man. Johnny Taco and his All-Stars return on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM Satellite Radio. For all the troops out there, AFN Radio.
You're listening to Sports Overnight Weekend.
You've walked through 18 open houses. Your feet hurt and your head is buzzing. Living in a van is starting to sound strangely appealing. But then you hear it. The sound of hope. Of Zillow. You glance at your phone to see a 3-bedroom Craftsman in the right school district. It's perfect, and it just showed up on your phone. Like magic. So sign up for mobile alerts, and we'll send you homes that fit your criteria when they hit the market. And to think, you wanted to live in a van. Zillow. Find your way home.
You're running your business, and we at Wix.com know things can get stressful. But creating your website doesn't have to be. With Wix, you can create a professional website all by yourself. It's easy and free. You don't have to be a programmer. Just drag and drop everything into place. It's your website, your style. Show the world what you can do. Go to Wix.com and create your own stunning website today. It's easy and free.
The experts at Web.com want to build your business a successful website for free, just like they did for these Web.com customers.
We've used and looked at other website designers, but there's nobody better than Web.com.
Web.com can have your website built for free and up and running in as little as 7 days. Plus, promote your site on all the major search engines like Google, Yahoo, and Bing.
If you're in business today and you don't have a web presence, you won't be taken seriously.
Call now to get your website built for free. If after 30 days you're happy with your new website, we'll continue to provide promotion, hosting, support, and maintenance, all for just one low monthly fee. If not, cancel and pay nothing. Call 855-254-SITE, 855-254-SITE. 855-254-7483 or go to web.com/radio. There is no upfront charge for building the website, after which the ongoing fee applies. Rights to the website are relinquished upon cancellation unless otherwise purchased.
Hi, Rick Tittle here. You may know me as the sports talk host. I can talk about all sports: football, basketball, baseball, hockey, soccer, golf, tennis, auto racing, boxing, Olympics, rollerball. But this time I'm here to talk about pain. If you have pain in your knee or your back like I do, then you should know about the Health Alert Hotline. If Medicare is your primary insurance, then you could qualify for a back or knee brace at little or no charge. I have an old injury from my football playing days, and anything that can help take that pain away and make it more manageable, that has my attention. I love the free delivery, and they take care of the paperwork for you. So if you have Medicare and need help for back, ankle, knee, or shoulder pain, please call the Health Alert Hotline at 800-428-1570. That's 800-428-1570. Agents are standing by 24/7, so go ahead and call now. 800-428-1570.
You're listening to Sports Overnight Weekend
with Johnny Taco.
Works for me.
Bringing back referee Pat Russell, of course, San Diego, California is where. How did you watch TV on KTVU? Were you living up here in Northern California?
I was a Bay Area kid. I went, graduated from, eventually, from Santa Clara University, and I lived in San Jose for most of my growing up. And I went in the service, never came back.
Wow. I mean, you know, because Hank Renner took over, but I can't remember the first guy. He's still alive, the announcer. He was a big old announcer, and it may come to me here and there, but he wouldn't take any guff from the wrestlers, even during when they were acting, okay? He wouldn't take any guff from them because he was bigger than them, okay?
Yep.
So I can't – oh, it's killing me. I can't think of his name right now. Anyway, but he was the only guy that wouldn't. Then they brought in a guy that was a personality opposite, Hank Renner, that took all the smack, this and that. But those were good days. Roy Shire, you know, he was the guy that paved the way for Vince McMahon Jr. as far as all these different events he had, like the Battle Royal and stuff like that. That was all Roy Shire's creations.
Sure. Sure, those guys were smart. They were great marketers. And, you know, in those days, I think boxing had a different marketing style. For the most part, in California, in Northern California, it was Don Chargan. God bless him. Arguably, I still think maybe the greatest promoter ever. And in Southern California, he was all, you know, he had the fights over the Grand Olympic Auditorium and Eileen Eaton and all that. I mean, this was a great state for boxing, and it still is a great state for boxing. But it was a marvelous time to be a kid. And I can remember going to these gyms, you know, just being a kid in the gym, you know, and have 50 guys in that gym at the same time, sparring, working out. The CYO used to have leagues. Yep. It was a big deal back in those days, and it was important. I think it was a great structure. I think boxing always has been a great tool to learn a lot of disciplines that hold you in great stead later on in life. I really believe that to this day.
I have come of the notion or the belief that football is more dangerous than boxing. What do you think of that?
Absolutely, without question. And the other portion about that is what you have to do to compete at certain levels and what you have to do to your body to maintain that level of competition. And the minute you start adding weight to your body because you need bulk to be able to handle a 275-pound charging lineman and you weigh 320 pounds, that's not doing your joints or your major organs, certainly your heart, any good. And I think in the long run now, we've made it so competitive at such a level that there is no room for making mistakes. In fact, I think in all of sports, we've made mistakes something to be, you know, you're supposed to be humiliated by mistakes. I've always thought that being a champion and what I was brought up with was that a champion overcomes every adversity put in front of him, including the mistakes of the officials. That, you know, if you didn't get the call going into the end zone, you go back, you say you missed that call blue, or you missed that call stripes, you go back to the huddle, call it up again, maybe do a different slant. You go in there and you make that catch, and that's what your definition was. You exposed your character. But I think maybe it's a different deal now because it's such a big business. It's really, in some ways, kind of like the sports entertainment business that wrestling has become for professional football for me.
Interesting. I'll run a figure by you. If 1% of the NFL players that are making all this money died a horrible death like Alzheimer's and dementia and can't walk like Jim Otto, 00, former from the Oakland Raiders Center. He can't even get out of bed and things like that. If 1% of these guys were to end up like that, I would consider it important. But if the number's up around 10% or something like that, maybe we need to look at football and really seriously look at it.
Well, yeah, and the other thing is, how do you diagnose it? At what point down the line do you say this is important? And listen, this country is famous for allowing people to take risks and for not being able to stand up when those risks have detrimental results. I mean, without getting political about it, the whole idea about dioxin poisoning overseas was something that literally the veterans in this society had to force the government to stand up to the mistakes and to the risks that they gave them, unnecessary mistakes, as it turned out. And we can go through the Gulf War syndrome, et cetera. You know, the business is in the business of making money. They're not in the business of taking care of you over a long period of time. That's not their point. That's not a profit motive that you can figure in. And, you know, I think perhaps there's a little bit of that going on right here. I mean, if I'm a football player and I'm reminded of that linebacker from San Francisco who recently retired, that kid took a look around. He said, you know what? This is a business decision, and my business has got to be that I've got to live to, you know, be 85 years old and be cognitive knowing what I'm doing. I decide not to be a football player anymore, and he walked away.
You know, you talked about government oversight and things like that. What about Flint, Michigan? Does that blow you away or what?
Oh. Well, you know, Pedro, and I'll go back to this, and I'm sure you could talk about it. It just seems to me that when you are given a public trust, you are also given a public responsibility, and you are held to a higher standard than the average citizen in this country. So if you're a firefighter, you are expected to take the risk to go into that burning building, risk yourself, risk your people that you're with, to pull out somebody who's alive or to stop the fire in that structure. If you're a police officer, you're held to a certain standard, not only on duty, but off duty, that you are going to be held that your word is your bond, that what you say goes is it. Why does that not apply to politicians?
Governor.
Why does that apply that the bottom line here is some sort of business model where it's all about profit? It's not about profit. you know, I trust the fact that when I open my sink, that I'm going to have water that comes out that's not going to poison me or poison my children. And when you fail to do that, I think that's a criminal act. I think that's a criminal act as if you saw somebody that you could have rescued and you didn't. You know, it's not an act of malfeasance. It's an act of lack of being able to do what you're supposed to do. And to me, you should be absolutely held responsible. You should go to prison behind this.
We'll let this go in a second. But Governor Snyder, he got bottled water for all the people that worked in the state offices in Flint, Michigan. And in fact, I think GM went and got another water source as well. But yet the people still had to drink that water. And get this, as of a couple of months ago, they were still getting bills, Pat.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Of course, because the funding of the machine is not going to change. But, you know, the fact that you violated the basic core principle of trust on that, you know, trust is a real interesting – I hope I'm not going too far afield.
Trust is an interesting thing.
You know, when you lose it, it's very difficult to reestablish it. And I deal a lot with veterans coming back from war that get all wrapped up because of traumatic injuries and military trauma. And they end up in the court system, and if they do the right thing and respond to treatment, basically they get exonerated, go back to the day before they started. But the one problem we have, starting off initially and throughout the treatment program itself, is reestablishing trust. They don't trust. They don't believe it. They think everything has got to be looked at with a jaundiced eye. And you would think in a society we would have some things that we could trust. We could trust when I make a call for 911, some police officer is going to come and respond to my need. That when my house is burning down, I call the number, you know, firefighters show up and do it. If I have a medical emergency, somebody takes care of me. But when you can't trust that, then, you know, really it's a violation. It's as much a violation as any trust relationship you would have.
Well, let me put you on the spot. I'm on the American Forces Network, which means we're in every military base in the world right now, U.S. military base. And I got to ask you this. I'm not in favor of wounded warriors in these charitable projects that are on the side, because I think the government should take care of every single need these guys have, and people shouldn't be having to donate money to take care of guys and get them wheelchairs and that kind of stuff. Man, they sent them over there, whether it was under false pretenses or not, to Iraq. The bottom line is they sent them over there, and they're responsible for them. I don't think we should be done. I mean, I see a lot of vets in San Francisco. They're homeless. They're on the street, Pat.
Right. Well, two things. Number one, first and foremost, to every person who has served at every level at anything that is service-related in this country, thank you.
Yeah, I agree.
I think that's a simple statement to state. Just thank you. Number two is, I don't disagree with that, Pedro. I think that's absolutely right. I think in America what we have is we have really a surrogate society. We don't have a participatory society. Less than 1% of this country serves in the military. It's 0.85%. That's horrendous when you think of the amount of work that they're doing. Less than 1% deal with it. The other thing I think is that we can throw a lot of money, we can throw a lot of expertise, we can sit around and have therapy sessions, and all those things are wonderful. And I think the VA is actually, in spite of itself, trying to do some really good, extraordinary measures to try and deal with the issues that are involved. But the number one thing that needs to happen is that we need to bring our veterans home by embracing them to ourselves. If they don't trust, it's because their trust has been violated. Let's reestablish that. If we don't know who they are, let's reach out and bring them and make them part of this quote-unquote mainstream America. And we're not going to do that by taking an extra 5 cents on our tax bill and doing it. We're going to do that. I do that as a veteran by leaning out to another veteran and saying, listen, you know, I made a lot of mistakes along the way, but here's some mistakes that you can avoid. Try this, one-on-one participation. And let's validate the experience by personal contact for each and every one of these veterans coming home. I mean, I would love to see a program where there would be something, tax credit or whatever they want to do, or just an appeal to the goodness of this country by saying, every veteran that comes here, this is your adopted family. They're going to stay with you while you transition back into our society. I would love to see that happen.
It happens in other countries in the world. The great Pat Russell, referee extraordinaire, San Diego, California. Now, what kind of dogs do you talk about the dogs real quick.
Sure, rescue dogs. I have two golden retrievers and one Roddy Beagle.
Okay.
As my wife informs me, I'm not sure we call her Wendy the attack sausage. She was built to be a guard dog, and that now turns out she guards us. And you know, she's just great.
Well, all the best to you and your wife, and I hope to have you back real soon. Okay.
I'd love to do it. Thank you so much.
Referee extraordinaire Pat Russell, folks, San Diego, California. This is Johnny talking to his All Stars live on Sports Byline.
You're listening to Sports Overnight Weekend.
Do you have an old car sitting in your driveway? How would you like to learn a hassle-free way to get rid of it, help kids in need, and get a great tax donation in the process? It's real easy. One simple free call to our car donation hotline is all it takes. Call the Neshama Foundation
at 800-760-4895, 800-760-4895.
We'll come pick your car up for free and give you a tax donation for the full value of the car, running or not. The value of your unwanted car will go to help kids in need. It's fast and easy. Just call us and your car will be gone and on its way to helping children in 48 hours. And you get a nice tax deduction. Call the Neshama Foundation now to get rid of your car, help kids, and get a tax write-off.
Call 800-760-4895, 800-760-4895, 800-760-4895. That's 800-760-4895.
Here's an urgent alert from the Student Loan Hotline. The average student loan debt is $25,000. Have you been out of college for 10 or more years and you're still making your student loan payments? If you are struggling with paying off your student loan, if you are past due, we can help. Nationwide Student Loan Relief can now restructure your student loans. We can get your student loans out of default, stop any wage garnishments, stop harassing collection calls, and even eliminate your student loan payment. If you can't afford your student loans, or if you're past due and you need help, you must call right now. We will restructure your loan or your money back, and that's a guarantee. So call the Student Loan Hotline right now. 800-949-8707. 800-949-8707. 800-949-8707. 800-949-8707.
Do you know which investment has tripled in price since the debt crisis and risen an average 20% a year for 11 years? It's not stocks, not bonds, it's silver. And right now, we at Lear Capital believe silver is poised to hit new record highs. And we're making it easier to own than ever. For a limited time, new customers with $5,000 or more to invest in gold or silver can get up to 10 certified Morgan silver dollars absolutely free. That's right, up to 10 100-year-old Morgan silver dollars when you invest $5,000 or more. A $600 value free. This offer is available for IRA accounts as well.
Call right now, 800-631-9229. 800-631-9229. 800-631-9229. Call Lear Capital now. 800-631-9229.
I'm just hopeful that we aren't faced with the possibility of having Mr. Trump as our nominee.
I cannot in good conscience vote for him, and I will not.
If we nominate Donald Trump and put him on a glide path to the nomination, Republicans will be committing an abortion on their own party, and it will be the end of the Republican Party as we know it.
You're listening to Sports Overnight America
with Johnny Tucker.
I guarantee you there's no problem.
Close your eyes, and I'll kiss you.
Little Fab Four before we make it out of here. Straight up, George Martin passed away this year, of course, this week at the age of 90, an institution in England. Of course, a iconic figure in the world of music, him being the fifth Beatle in a lot of people's minds. Now, before I go to my guys from my favorite part of the show, tell me something I don't know. I want to mention the WBO lightweight champion Terry Flanagan retained his title tonight, now 30-0, 12 KOs with a 12-round win over fellow hometowner Derry Matthews, who came in at 38-9, who left 38-10. That was for the WBO 130-pound title. Of course, you can follow the WBO, the World Boxing Organization, on Facebook or check out their website, WBOboxing.com. Now we go to Zach Attack Young for my favorite thing. Zach Attack, tell me something I don't know. All right, tell me, Dominic, what's happening? You tell me something I don't know.
All right, stay with me. There's a little bit of a chain here. NHL winger Zach Rinaldo, he was waived by the Boston Bruins after he received his third career suspension for an illegal hit. He reported to the AHL, which is like the minor leagues of hockey, and in his first game, he delivered another headshot and got suspended there too. He was the first player to be suspended in two hockey leagues simultaneously. Great job, dude.
You know, why is, how can I put it, cheap shots in hockey? I mean, I guess we're going to have to start looking at hockey as well. You know, guys take a lot of punishment in hockey. All these different contact sports are coming under the scrutiny, of course, with the NFL and the CT and things like that. But I'll pose this question to you, Dominic, before we go. If 1% of football players ended up retarded, would that be a big thing? Or would 10% be a big thing? Or would 30% be a big thing? Where do you cut the figure off? Where do you say, you know, that these guys are going to end up without CTE? Where do you stop the percentage? What's the number you put in there?
You know, I'd probably start looking when it gets to 5 or 10%. Unfortunately, it should be 1%, but just the sheer number of guys that are playing, we're looking at 50-plus guys per team per year, and that's not including injuries and guys that come on to fill in as injured guys. That's not counting the practice squad guys. So we're looking at, you know, over 1,500 players a year, and that changes from year to year, the number of guys, obviously. So,
and you know, the window
it should be higher, but it's going to take a while, unfortunately.
Yeah, a lot. But the window of opportunity for an NFL player is like 4.5 years. I mean, I think that's the average life of an NFL player, especially like a running back. Sometimes their peak is less than that, but. You know, if you're playing that long, and I don't think it's the NFL that's really at fault here. I think it starts off when guys are banging each other's heads at 10 and 12 years old.
Yeah, and you know, I've spoken about this at length on this show, that in order for the change to happen, it doesn't need to be at the NFL level. It's got to be at the youth level. It's got to be at the Pop Warner. It's got to be at the high school level, where things got to start changing there. It sounds horrible, but it's already too late for the guys that are in college right now, in the NFL right now. But the NFL's got to be part of an initiative to change things 10 years from now, when the next wave, next generation of NFL stars come, so that by the time they're in the NFL, the second nature, the instincts, the basic instincts of these players have shifted already. That's okay. Where it's got to be.
Fred Dreyer says it's football. The former All-Pro of the L.A. Rams says it's football, and you just got to take it for what it is. Straight up. He's got his opinion. You have a wonderful week, Dominic. Thank you so much, my brother. You're the greatest.
I'm living large. Of course it's going to be a good week. Thank you.
Yeah, I know. Hillsborough, California. Look up Hillsborough, California on the map, folks. Google it, okay? He lives there. There's one house he lives in like a month a year. I kid you not. They just have to have residence there. That's how much money Dominic Jimenez has. Straight up, it's rude. 1-800-878-7529. That is our toll-free phone line, because we're coming up another hour. Hour number one right here on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network. My name is Johnny Taco. Don't forget, Ring Talk Live Worldwide, Saturday and Sunday, 11 a.m. Pacific time, right here on Sports Byline. This is the Sports Byline Broadcast Network. Executive producer, the main man, Scott the Cut Man Cuddy.